That's Isaiah 41. Well, these scriptures that we have from Isaiah 40 onwards are God's encouragement to the exiles to come back. They have gone into captivity, and now it is being said to them, God is with you. He has not forgotten you. Come back. It is a reassurance of Judah that really he wants to restore them. See, Isaiah, the first section is about Hezekiah. Then you've got this historical interlude from 36 to 39, which concludes with God saying, right, you're going to go into captivity in Babylon. And they do. But then chapter 40 goes straight on from that, encouraging them to come back from there. The tragedy was that the vast majority of Jews who went into captivity remained there of their own choice. Ezra was hard put to find enough Levites to come back with him to the land. And it's a sad ending of the book of Esther, that they were happy and content where they were. Well, one of the things God says to encourage them is verse 9 of chapter 41 here of Isaiah. You Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you whom I have taken hold of from the ends of the earth and from its corners. I think the earth here is the Eretz, the land promised to Abraham, and they were in captivity in Babylon and Persia at the very edges of the earth. It's not talking about a sphere, it's talking about the land promised to Abraham. I've taken hold of you from the ends of the earth, as he did, of course, with Abraham, and I've said to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and will not cast you away. I will not cast you away. Well, in Leviticus 26, God clearly says that if they cast away God's laws, and the word is also translated despised, if you despise or cast away my laws, I will cast you away. That is stated there, Leviticus 26, 44. This is, it's a wordplay within those promises of blessing and cursing in Leviticus 26, that if you cast away God's law, he will cast you away. They had cast away God's law, so they had gone off into captivity. And yet he's saying that despite that, I actually won't cast you away. In a sense, you could say that he did, temporarily, in a sense that he sent them to Babylon, in the sense that Judah, Israel, Jews, Jewry, however you want to look at it, are in exile from their land. Yes, but this is the whole wonder of Paul saying, has God cast away his people? No, he has not. If you cast my law away, I will cast you away. They cast God's law away, they did not repent, but God says, okay, but because I love you, I will not cast you away, even though I said I would. Now, this is incredible. This shows God almost wanting to force through his saving plan with them. And yet even then, they didn't want to know. Only a few of them got it. You see this in verse 10. God says, yes, I will help you. That's why Ezra in Ezra 8 says that he would not ask for help from the king, for an armed guard to go back with them with all the valuable gold and silver and stuff from the temple that had been taken to Babylon and they were now taking back. They'd have been easy prey. And he says, no, I don't need the help of man. He clearly believed this at this time. Well, I will help you. Verse 11, likewise, behold, all those who are incensed against you will be disappointed and confounded. Those who strive with you will be like nothing and shall perish. Well, it's the same words used about how the local people in the land, when the Jews returned, Sanballat, Tobiah, the Ammonites, Ashdodites, we're told, they were incensed against the Jews. That's in Nehemiah 4, and it's the same word used here. All those who are incensed against you will be confounded. And of course, they could not stop them building the wall because of these kinds of prophecies. And yet, what are Judah do? They go and marry in with those people who were incensed against them, who were full of wrath, it's another translation for it, against them. They go and marry them, worship their gods, have kids by them who can't even speak Hebrew, and so on. It's so tragic that so much was set up, and yet it didn't work out. They did not make use of it. God was, talk about bending over backwards, he was really going against almost his own stated principles in order to try to save people. Now you can take, I think, a lesson from that, that we also likewise should have that same desire to save people. Not legalistically saying, look, this is the condition and you didn't make it, so tough. That's not what God is like. You may say, but isn't God serious about his word? Aren't we to be very respectful of his word? Absolutely, we are to be. But he has the prerogative, as you see here, to change for love's sake. It's not for us to take that prerogative. We can't start amending conditions, and we can't start saying, well, don't worry, God won't mind about that. That's not for us to do that. But what you see here is that God says, if you cast me away, I'll cast you away. But then he says, but I will never cast you away. It's the same fluctuation of feelings you see in the book of Hosea, where Hosea marries Gomer, who's a prostitute. He really loves her, but she is awful to him, sleeps with other guys, gets pregnant by them, and says, here you are, honey, here's the baby I've born for you. This little boy's yours. And he looks at the kid and says, no, you're not my people. This is not mine. And he gets real mad with her. Says, I'm going to chuck you out, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to murder you. Then he doesn't. I will love you no more, but he does. And this is all reflecting God's feelings. God says in Hosea to his people, I will love them no more. And then he says, I will love them freely. So this is an aspect of God that sort of simplistic Sunday school Christianity doesn't really engage with. But it is there. And the more you come to terms with what the prophets are really saying, the more you see this live and actual passion of God. I will not cast you away. Wow, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew, as Paul says. And yet, Leviticus, I will cast you away if you cast me away. They did cast him away, so he cast them away. But I won't. All the same, I want you. And so this desire of God for us, for human salvation, this should be reflected in us, that we should be willing to sell our socks, to crawl from one side of Europe to the other for the sake of baptizing somebody if necessary, on our hands and knees, to really appeal to people by all means, instead of being so caught up with, I didn't want to force it, I didn't want to push it, that's all making excuses. Go and tell people, ask people, beg them to say yes to Jesus Christ, to say yes to the good news of his kingdom that he's prepared for them, and be baptized. Make excuses. Go out there and say this to men and women. Because in doing that, we will be reflecting this absolute passion of God for human salvation.